Today, we're going to take time and pay honor to Dr. Sue Johnson.
Welcome to the Leading Edge in Emotionally Focused Therapy with your hosts, Dr. James Hawkins and Dr. Ryan Reyna. EFT is a dynamic model that humbles even the most seasoned therapists. Together, we want to come alongside you as you continually push the leading edge of your understanding and application of this wonderful model developed by Dr. Sue Johnson.
Yeah, we don't always take time and date our podcast really and let you know when we're recording, but there are some times when it's important for us to tell you because it's a significant mark in history. And today is April 24th, 2024, and it's the day after the announcement of the passing of Dr. Sue Johnson, the lead and president of the International Center for Excellence in Emotionally Focused Therapy, the founder of Emotionally Focused Couples Therapy, Emotionally Focused Individual Therapy, and Emotionally Focused Family Therapy, whose mission in life, and if you ever were around Sue for any amount of time, you would quickly pick up on a sense that she was passionate about transforming the world's view of love and being able to fight for love when negative cycles of distress and pain had taken over. And so that's what we're going to dedicate this episode to. We're going to talk a little bit, and Ryan and I just pay our respects to Sue, and just talk about some of the tactical things that, I can call them tactical, but like some important elements that Ryan and I will always carry with us. You know, because there was this one quote I heard Sue say in her EFIT training. She's quoting Irvin Yalom, but I heard it through her voice. We are always interacting with the cast of characters that our clients carry around in their heads. And as I was driving in this morning, I was just kind of, you know, really in a moment of just meditation and thankfulness, just saying, like, I'm glad that Sue will be one of those characters that I'll always carry around in my head.
Mm, that's good. Yeah, man, it's strange to podcast today. This is my second event of the day. I had a webinar this morning and trying to podcast here. And, you know, we're really doing this without even processing the loss. So it's a strange time, but, you know, we chose to keep going forward. I think that's what Sue would want. I know that's what Sue would do. And so we do want to pause, though. This is a huge loss for us. Today's a heavy day. I've probably had more people contact me in the last 12 hours than in probably in the past decade. You know, it's really only been about 24, 25 hours since she passed away, and that's not much time. Mm-mm. So it's a multi-tiered loss for our profession, for us personally, a friend. It's a big deal. And so, you know, it feels weird to podcast. It'd feel weird not to podcast because mm-hmm. we all share Sue Johnson mm-hmm. in a way. We were just, before we came on, we were trying to decide what we were going to start with. And, you know, this is the end of our opener. Every aspect on this podcast is, you know, Nicola's voice talking about Dr. Sue Johnson. Mm-hmm. So we do want to pay tribute to her and keep going, keep passing the torch. But it's also important to look backwards at times for who she is and who she was for us. I really think about, man, if you think about getting existential on you here, if you think about love, it's such a huge thing. And I'm not necessarily referring to romantic love. That's great too. There's many different kinds, but you know, without it, there's not much. And the fabric of what makes us human and what makes life good is love. Mm. And she was one of the foremost experts in history on one of the greatest topics. And I just think it's profound, her contributions.
I mean, come on. Like, I mean, if you're going to write my obituary or whatever, that's what I wanted to say. Yeah. Like, to say you're one of the, I mean, not even just like, you know, the funny thing about Sue that I want to, I don't know if people that didn't get to meet her would understand. Here she was. She truly was one of the world's foremost leaders on the topic of one of the most central things to humanity. But when you met her, she always wanted to just be Sue.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I met her, I joke and people have heard, and I'm like, Dr. Sue Johnson, Dr. Susan Johnson, do I try and just be really cool and say, hey, Sue? Yeah. And she comes walking across the conference room floor towards me and we're about to meet. And I was like, hey, Dr. Johnson, my name is Dr. Hawk. She's like, it's Sue. And then she hugs me and reminds me of like one of my aunts from the South who, you know, and but in this zeal she carried for learning.
Yeah.
Like no matter how many years she's done, how much she's, in a sense, if you want to say proven herself, she said, I'm so excited to go up to my clinic and see what my clients are going to teach me. You know, so I just hope that, you know, for me, you know, beyond what she taught me in this model, can I model that same hunger for learning, that same form of humility, that there's never a point where I've arrived and got this all figured out?
Yeah. Yeah, I was recently reviewing her eFit tapes, and her energy is still contagious. Yeah. You know, and I don't know how many years she practiced, but it is a lot. And she had the energy. I mean, she was still doing work like a week ago.
Yes.
And that's unbelievable. Her drive. Pretty incredible.
I mean, she was getting ready for the EFT World Summit. That's she right. was still putting together trainings. And she was, I mean, that's why we had to do the podcast. Like if Sue in the moment of her pain and struggle kept pushing, I'm like, we'll live in the honor of that in a way, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about, you know, and a personal relationship with her, personal/professional, you know, we went through three or four things together as colleagues and just how incredibly loyal she was to me and to us and to the mission, you know, of ICEFT and so forth. And through that, you really got to see her fighting side. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of her legacy. You know, it's one thing to talk about the sadness of her being gone, but part of her legacy is she had to fight. Mm-hmm. And she'd tell funny stories about being raised in a pub and literally being around fighting, but that she had that side of her personality, you know. And then, but from, you know, from about 95 to about 2004, she had to fight to have a voice. You know, there was gender discrimination in our profession, and she had to push, and she had to not take no for an answer to some other big voices. There's stories of things that happened at conferences and her being challenged in certain ways. And, you know, you didn't cross Sue. She's tough. She was tough. And, you know, it's like she used that pain, I think, for good, which is a metaphor for her as well, because she let it sharpen her. And you didn't want to start quoting research around Sue unless you knew what you were talking about, because she did. And she would flat put people back if they were misquoting things, and not necessarily a mean way, but just in a tough way. Mm-hmm. So to me, Sue is just an incredible blend of science and human art, right? And that is such a rare combination.
Wow.
There are a lot of great scientists, but you don't necessarily want to hang out with them at the party. And there's lots of great people who have great human skills and love really well and do attunement, you know, but can't add, can't publish, you know, that sort of thing. And so she really was top tier at both levels. Mm. And you just don't see that very often. In fact, I can't really think of someone right now that I could see that kind of balance. So it's quite a loss we're taking.
Yeah, 100%, you know. And what I appreciate about Sue is, you know, she could have easily created this model that was purely based upon her personality and style. Mm-hmm. And she could have tried her best to make us all be like her, but she didn't.
Yep.
She did make sure that we understood that there's a process, that there's an order of change, that there are processes that lead, that have a higher likelihood of success of leading people through distress to being able to restructure their bond. And she gave us that. She could have, like, as she leaves and exits, and there's this absence of her, the essence of who she is in that push. But it's like, but we can all continue it on now. We really can, because she taught us. In a way, she kind of replicated herself in some ways. And we can all, and she encouraged, like, you know, some people have said, you know, how does Sue feel about your podcast? Well, she's been a guest on here. And what I appreciated about Sue was he was always willing to, she loved innovation and thought and forward thinking, going to what Ryan said, as long as it was like agreeing with the research and what data showed. Even my first meeting of her, I appreciate Ryan for setting up that meeting, Ryan, all those years ago. And it was just to talk to Sue, not about formerly ICEF trainer stuff. It was, hey, Sue, there's this guy and he's taking your work and he's using it to talk about racial reconciliation in communities. And Sue's ears perk up and, you know, and she meets with me and takes time out of her schedule. And a couple times Sue was saying, like, I love what you're doing. You have access to all my work. Anytime you need my help, ask me, James. Mm-hmm. And just being to imagine being on a video call with Sue Johnson saying, hey, what do you think about using the attachment injury model and rewriting it to help communities realize about how holding space for pain,
yeah,
and then not letting shame and guilt overwhelm, but to stay present. She's like, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I love what you're doing. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And even with this podcast, I love what y'all are doing. Thank you so much. You know, keep helping people out and just really appreciating that kind of attitude.
Yeah. And she did have a heart for diversity.
Mm-hmm.
The DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. She had a huge heart for that. And there was some rub around that. There's been some painful events, as our whole society had.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, she had a huge heart for that. And mm-hmm. As well as reconciliation, redemption, relationships, culturally, cross-culturally. I didn't know that was your first contact with her.
Yeah,
I had a whole different memory. So isn't that funny?
Yep.
That's right, though. I remember. Was that in
Nashville, Tennessee?
In Nashville. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. So trying to be specific. That's what you wanted us to do. I guess we can do whatever.
Well, me and Ryan were talking about, like, what are we going to do? We usually try and get on here and be so focused. And I was meeting with the trainer team before we got on.
Okay.
And I was like, I think we're going to record today. And I said, I'm going to do what Sue would say and just follow the emotion and let it lead us. Okay. You know?
All right. So, well, I'm going to go back a step because I want to give her credit too. You're right. She could have controlled this model so much as she said multiple times that it would die with her.
Mm.
Right. And she chose not to do that. And so she invites innovation, different voices, different styles. She says, I don't want people to try to be clones of me. I brought you in for your talent. And yes, I have that in writing. but that's credit to her. That's credit to her. And that's not easy, actually.
No, it's not.
To not try to control something you really believe in. So that is a credit to her that she cares more about the mission than even, you know, her style or her way of doing things. So that's a big credit to her. I really loved studying her. I guess this won't be shocking to anyone, how she managed things in session when it got hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, there was obviously beauty. It's what she's famous for, I think, is her deepening moves. Because that's what stands apart. You know, there's always been lots of smart people who, you know, say whatever about relationships. But I think what made Sue really famous, in addition to great research, was her training videos, where she would drop people into very, very raw vulnerability and then orchestrate or reshape change events. And no one had ever seen that before in terms of couples therapy. A lot of folks talk about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
They even talk about emotion. But no one really knew how to orchestrate it with a couple at the same time in room with the video playing. I mean, that's a lot of folks think that they do, but Sue was doing that, which is pretty incredible. And that's mm-hmm. awesome. I also love to see her when it would get tough, how she would operate. One of my favorite stories is just a few years ago. Well, I might be like seven now. I'm getting old. But anyway, I really, the old Doug and Diane training video, because
mm-hmm.
I showed that as a professor, I think like in 2004. Or something. And that's what that video got me really curious about her, because I watched her work at a really second order level and affect both people in very implicit ways as opposed to top down psych ed ways. And I saw her completely change two people's position in about 3 or 4 minutes without ever teaching them anything. And so as a systems thinker, I'm like, hey, that's something just happened right there. So anyway, all those years later, she had forgotten about them, or so she said. I had to remind them who they were, and they're like, we don't have that anymore. And then they found it, and then I found it. And she and I connected over that. We watched it a little bit together. It's like, oh, yeah, I know him. And she had all kinds of memories of that case. But but it was difficult. That person was really stuck in those videos. And so I watched her use affect assembly rhythmically over and over and over to help people see that their protection move was hurting their partner and themselves. And I just thought that was really innovative to stay at the process level, not just go get someone's trauma, which is, I don't want to say is easier, but it is easier, actually. It's a lower level of skill in terms of the ability to stay with the process unfolding right in front of you. And she was brilliant doing that. And then I finished my externship with her, she and George, in Manhattan on a Friday. And I remember Monday afternoon back home, probably jet lagged, I was a better couples therapist from specifically watching when an enactment would get blocked. So I'd been doing enactments. And, you know, it takes a little bit of work to do them, to even get to a place where it's worth doing. And then I remember if it would get blocked, I wouldn't know what to do. And so I watched her stay really proximal to the person's experience. I watched her shift that to parts in a humanistic way and then open up a space for a longing to come forward and complete one of these, what we now call finishing the mission. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm in. There's something really brilliant about what she was just doing. So I don't mean to be overly specific, but I think it's congruent with all the things that we're saying.
No, I thank you for telling that story, Ryan. And now, like, my brain is backfilling the stories of times when I sat with you in training, and I'm like, oh, so that's why that sticks out to Ryan. Okay. Like, I appreciate one of your feedbacks to me is like, James, in that tape, you did a good job of just staying proximal. No matter how many times they blocked you, you just stayed proximal. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I like that. And then opening up the space. Anyway, I appreciate that. And that's what Sue would want us to do. That's what Sue loved. Like, what did you learn here? What did you learn? You know, I'm doing an online externship right now with Yolanda Van Kemp. I can't remember so far if I'm messing up Yolanda's name. She's a trainer in Vancouver and Canada as well. And what I liked, Yolanda was helping me. She talked about the early days with Sue when she was a student.
Yeah.
And it was still when Sue and Leslie Greenberg were working together.
Yep.
And like, the model was still being built. Mm-hmm. And Yolanda got to watch the model be built in front of her eyes. Like, Sue would sit at the table and go over cases, and they would just keep going over ideas. And what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What did you see? What did you see? And they would just throw out ideas, and they, you know, Sue would be like, that was great. Let's incorporate that. No, I'm not sure about that. I'm like, oh my goodness. That just would be like amazing.
Yeah.
And so she loved this, like, for you to give that kind of analysis. Like, Ryan, what did you see in that session?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And that's the culture she brought in, is watching her own videos, studying her own process.
That's right. 100%.
And that's central ever since. Yeah, I've heard those stories too. I'm pretty jealous of those stories.
I know
Leanne Campbell and David Fairweather used to sit in Sue's floor for years as she worked through things in their leather pants and her fireball presence that she's always had. And so, yeah, that's pretty cool stuff.
I got bad knees, but I'd sit on the floor and listen to Sue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, some of the things, like, you know, and I don't want to get too tactical, but I do appreciate Sue's constant kind of feedback of James. You know, like, vulnerability happens slow, reactivity happens fast. You have to slow them down. You know, that part, that was so important. I've told you that quote now, and that helps me. Like, some people say, James, why do you use your client's name so much? Because now, and I mean, that's also credit to Leanne, who studied with Sue, I'm building out the characters. And I'm talking, and I'll speak from each one of the characters' position in a way. And it just makes it crystallize. That's how, like, Ryan uses a lot of image. That's the way I get images. I start seeing the characters in the dynamic process, and I make them explicit until when I finally get my client's position, then I start using their name. But that's Sue in the back of my head. And I might do something like, and I see Ryan. Like, I see this place where Ryan was just that little boy, just scared and alone, and he just wanted someone to say, hey, it's okay to have all this emotion, Ryan. Am I getting that right? And that's a Sue move right there, too. Ryan helped expose that one to me. Like, can I try on what I think I'm seeing? So can I take a moment? Can you just let me show you what I think I'm seeing and tell me if I'm getting it right?
Yeah.
What a great move. It contains them.
It is. It's a fantastic question.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would use that when it's going offline as if to say, stop what you're doing. Let me recheck this. But she would just say, hold on a minute. So I want to try on what I think I just saw. And then you tell me if I'm getting this right.
There you go.
It's a great disruptor when someone starts to dysregulate. Because it empowers them. It empowers them to say, hey, you got it wrong or you got it right. That's a great move. You know, that's what I stole from her on Friday and used on Monday in my office. that exact question. So, yeah.
Well, that's a good one, y'all. Like, I know we're not trying this honoring Sue, but that's a great clean move to use in a moment of reactivity when the cycle takes over to grab their attention, take the microphone from them and say, hold on. Let me try on what I think I'm seeing here. Mm-hmm. And I heard Sue in a training that she did a while back. She did that with a person when they were saying some very mean things about their partner.
Yes.
She said, hold on. Can I just, what I think I'm seeing? Your sweetheart just says something. And as your sweetheart says that, it becomes very painful for you. And when that pain hits your body, then you say something to your sweetheart that sounds like it's very painful and very hurtful for your partner's heart. Mm-hmm. And then she shuts down. And then you're lost. Am I seeing this?
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Because she was calling out, really, you fired a bullet and that hurt. Mm-hmm. But I need you to see it. And she made that partner witness it in a way.
It does. And having used that now thousands of times, a very predictable thing happens when someone is, you know, firing a bullet, so to speak, or a block, or just going a different direction. And you say, so hold on a minute. Hang on. I want to try on what I think I just saw. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to tell me if I got it right or not. The person tends to look left, right. So their eyes do that a lot. So first of all, that has that effect of you just broke the pattern, so that's effective. But they're also saying, what did I just say? Right? But then they're also being empowered to say, hey, you be the judge. I'm going to give this a try, and then you tell me if I'm close. And she meant it. It wasn't just it's not a manipulation to a certain direction. If they said, hey, you're off, she would say, okay, thank you. And she would take the correction and keep shifting. But she rarely was, right? Because she was an incredibly attuned human being, not only attuned to the people's emotion, but she could also feel what the cycle is doing to them and then the prospects of that bond, which was just around the corner.
Mm. Man, that's good. And, you know, even appreciating that, what she's doing there, being true to who she is as a researcher, is she's trusting that the emotion will guide her. Mm-hmm. And even the dance, and that's the part where, you know, the whole tango analogy, she's really trusting, like, let me review the moves of your dance. And what she's showing is it's right here in this moment, you end up stepping on each other's feet. And then you're hurting. Mm-hmm. And it's all off. You're out of sync with each other. You're out of sync with the music. And she's really kind of taking it back to say, can we do this dance differently? Let me be your instructor for a moment. Let me help be a facilitator. You know, I got to, when I was in New York with the New York Center for EFT, I got to actually go to a tango like dance place.
Mm-hmm. You got any video of that, Jake?
I did not dance at all. Trust me on that one. But the trainer there, Zoya, was just like, James, just watch and see what you observe. And one of the, I would say, I don't know what the term they would use, but like one of the like really skilled dancers, instructors even, stood next to me and was just kind of like putting words to the dance I was seeing and watching how without words, just with little subtle movements, the lead dance person would give suggestions and they would guide and flow with each other. And I'm like, oh, this is what Sue is seeing. This is what Sue's wanting us to do, to know how to feel those subtle shifts and work with the fluid moment. Because even in reactivity, Sue was never afraid of it because it's got valuable information. Do you remember when we had her on the podcast? And one of the questions we asked her was, you know, what does Sue Johnson do when things get really reactive in session? I'll never forget her answer.
Take a deep breath.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, take a deep breath, ground yourself. Mm-hmm. And the part where she really ended was, if there's reactivity, that means there's pain and fear. I need to go get it. Mm. That's what she always trusted. There's reactivity there because there's pain and fear. Mm. I need to go get it. Mm. I don't know. That's one of those Sue-isms I'll always carry with me.
That's pretty good. I'd forgotten she'd said that second part. What episode was that? Do you know?
Man, I don't. me and Ryan usually try and keep the episodes in front of us, but it's the one special guest, Dr. Sue Johnson.
There you go. Yeah, I think the piece, there's a lot I'm taking with me, and I haven't even processed her passing yet, so we're in the middle of it, but one of the things that flashes to my mind is early on in the training videos, she would be working with a couple and then, she would talk to the camera, you know, as part of the what she was doing with the training and the making of the tape. And so inevitably, though, in session, she would be, you know, attuning with people and all of a sudden an attachment longing would pop. And you would just see her like light up and she would go, yes, Yes. I remember thinking it was kind of cheesy as a student. But I look back and I'm like, all right, she was communicating something powerfully with that affective response. She's trying to say to them, trying to say to the listeners, hey, now we've found the jewel. This is this missing component for which when we don't have this kind of connection, this security, this bond, whatever word you want to use, the cycle is going to come in and take its place. Mm. And we have a profession who's literally made a living at diagnosing people's cycle behaviors, right? And Sue had the foresight to see through that to see through not just trauma, which is, you know, great, but also that the missing jewel here is some form of real connection with self, with other. And that if you can replace that jewel, what you find is people are much more resourceful and resilient than they seem to be in that cycle. So she was always looking for the jewel, and she had a heart to find it. And she's a jewel. So we're giving honor to Dr. Sue Johnson.
And that's all we got today, y'all. And, you know, normally we would probably end this episode with our outro, but I think today we're just going to let it go in silence and just kind of, you know, we've been tactical here, but whatever, you know, just comes up in your heart is, you know, maybe you didn't know Sue, but whether even you think about attachment or emotion or the work you do as a therapist with working with relational and emotional distress, just let it breathe and just kind of let this end in silence. And just a thank you to Sue. A thank you to John Douglas, her partner. Thank you to her kids and the sacrifices they contributed over the years to support Sue and spreading this mission to the world. Thank you to all the early trainers who were there during her dissertation and research and that were a part of it and who sat on floors and listened to the wisdom of Sue and who have been mentors to Ryan and I. Yep. And even Sue, you know, George is a guest contributor on this episode. We haven't heard him in a while, but even Sue getting on a plane and flying to go to New York after after 9/11 to go personally meet George Fowler and to mentor him and for George carrying on Sue's tradition too and dispensing that and being a mentor to us. But just thank you. So think about also the attachment figures in your life, the people who have contributed to you, who have helped shape you and encourage you. And tell them thank you. You know, me and Ryan, we want to, while we're thinking Sue, we thank you all for the hard work you do.
Yep.
We've tried to make that a tradition and a culture here on this podcast now to thank therapists for the hard work you do.
Yeah. Well, you're the mission of ISEFT. Yeah. So thank you. And thank you, Sue. We'll miss you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this experience helps you push the leading edge in your work to help people connect with themselves and with each other. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. You can contact us at pushtheleadingedge@gmail.com, and you can follow us on our Facebook page at Push the Leading Edge. You can follow Ryan on Facebook at Ryan Reyna Professional Training and on his website, ryanreynatraining.com. You can follow James on Facebook and Instagram at DocHawkLPC. You can also check out his website, DocHawkLPC.com.